ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। तो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल कांग्रेचुलेशन टू ऑल ऑफ यू ऑल फॉर फाइनली रीचिंग हियर इन स्पाइट ऑफ इंद्रदेव क्रिएटिंग सम प्रॉब्लम्स। थैंक यू फॉर कमिंग। सो आई लाइक टू स्पीक ऑन टू एस्पेक्ट्स। ऑफ कोर्स इट्स वन एस्पेक्ट एक्चुअली। I'm speaking from the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, shlok number 7. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahaitukam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Purport. Those who consider devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, to be something like material emotional affairs, may argue that in the revealed scriptures, sacrifice, charity, austerity, knowledge, mystic powers and similar other processes of transcendental realization are recommended. According to them, bhakti or the devotional service of the Lord is meant for those who cannot perform the high grade activities. Generally, it is said that the bhakti cult is meant for the shudras, vaishyas and the less intelligent woman class. But that is not the actual fact. The bhakti cult is the topmost of all transcendental activities, and therefore it is simultaneously sublime and easy. It is sublime for the pure devotees who are serious about getting in contact with the Supreme Lord, and it is easy for the neophytes who are just on the threshold of the house of bhakti. To achieve the contact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is a great science. But it is open for all living beings, including the Shudras, Vaishyas, women, and even those lower than the low-born Shudras. So what to speak of the high-class men like the qualified Brahmanas and the great self-realized kings? The other high-grade activities designated as sacrifice, charity, austerity, etc. are all corollary factors following the pure and scientific bhakti cult. The principles of knowledge and detachment are two important factors on the path of transcendental realization. The whole spiritual progress process leads to perfect knowledge of everything material and spiritual. And the results of such perfect knowledge are that one becomes detached from material affection and becomes attached to spiritual activities. Becoming detached from material things does not mean becoming inert altogether, as men with a poor fund of knowledge think. Naishkarmya means not undertaking austerities activities that will produce good or bad effects. Negation does not mean negation of the positive. Negation of the non-essentials does not mean negation of the essential. Similarly, detachment from material forms does not mean nullifying the positive form. The bhakti cult is meant for realization of the positive form. When the positive form is realized, the negative forms are automatically eliminated. Therefore, with the development of the bhakti cult, with the application of positive service to the positive form, one naturally becomes detached from inferior things and he becomes attached to superior things. Similarly, the bhakti cult, being the supermost occupation of the living being, leads him out of material sense enjoyment. That is the sign of a pure devotee. He is not a fool nor is he engaged in the inferior energies, nor does he have material values. This is not possible by dry reasoning. It actually happens by the grace of the Almighty. In conclusion, one who is a pure devotee has all other good qualities, namely knowledge, detachment, etc. But one who has only knowledge or only detachment is not necessarily well acquainted with the principles of the bhakti cult. Bhakti is the supermost occupation of the human being. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. But I thought this is somewhat related. And of course, we have a very wonderful festival today. We'll speak about that in the second half of our talk. So here, Suta Goswami is answering a very important question about bhakti. Earlier he has spoken that bhakti has to be ahetuki and apratihata. Ahetuki means not expecting anything in return for what devotional service we are performing. Sometimes because of our upbringing and the way we have been trained in this material world, we always expect something in return for what we are doing. So that comes even when we practice devotional service, and we are expecting something. And one of them is expecting that we should go back to Godhead. So we ask some people, why you want to go back to Godhead? Say, no, you know, so many problems in this material world, so many things to overcome, so difficult. That's why I want to go back to the spiritual world. Well, that is not the reason why we should go to the spiritual world. The reason we want to go to the spiritual world should be because we are missing Krishna. And when we develop that love for Krishna, we will not miss him anymore. We will see him everywhere. So it should be ahetuki. Whatever you are doing, nothing in return. Sometimes we do some service and we expect that we should be honored for it or glorified for it. At least somebody should talk something about it. You know, sometimes it should come in the flash also that, you know, such wonderful service has been done. Or we should get some Mahaprasad for doing so much service. Something, you know, earlier days it was there that some devotee, they were eager to take sannyas so that they'll have no problem of getting Mahaprasad. It will be easily available. Anyway, that's not the reason why we should. So that is ahetuki and apratihata. Apratihata means uninterrupted. It should just go on. It's not that, oh, today heavy rains, will not go. Nothing like that. Whatever. We have to perform our devotional service. Like one devotee was telling about, one devotee, she was practicing somewhere in Texas, I think. And she had only one service. And that was bringing, you know, this wicks, cotton wicks. Every Saturday, she would come to the temple and bring the cotton wicks for the entire week. And she did that for 19 years. I mean, this is when he spoke about 4 or 5 years back. I would say for 19 years, continuously, she has been doing that. That's apratihata, no interruption. Doesn't mean that we have to be big preachers to do uninterrupted devotion. It can be anything. But whatever you're doing, do it uninterrupted. Then here is answering the second question. This is the question that was asked by Shaunak Rishi about 5,000 years ago at Naimisharanya, where some of our devotees have gone. 5,000 years ago, these sages had gathered. There were 88,000 sages who had gathered to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of the main purpose was to delay Kali Yuga somehow. You know, like I always tell, it's Kali Yuga, from Dwapar Yuga to Kali Yuga, it's not that 31st December, Dwapar Yuga, 1st January, Kali Yuga started. You know, it's a process that goes on. And Kali Yuga started when Krishna left the planet in Dwapar Yuga. Yudhishthir Maharaj already saw the signs of Kali Yuga and he was disturbed and he understood that Krishna had already left. And that process started, and then we had Parikshit Maharaj, and then Kali Yuga started, and these sages wanted to postpone Kali Yuga as much as possible, and they heard Srimad Bhagavatam for 1,000 years. Right? We hear for 1 hour and it's okay now, right? Time for prasad. For 1,000 years they heard 88,000 sages, they heard it in Naimisharanya. And then they realized that Kali Yuga has to come anyway, it is coming. They could see all the signs and symptoms, and then they left that place. And that is how Kali Yuga has started. In fact, what we are seeing is just a small scratch of Kali Yuga. The real Kali Yuga will come much later, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there will be 10,000 years of golden age of bhakti, which is going on right now. Some devotees realize it. But once that 10,000 years is over, then real Kali Yuga will start. And somebody asked Prabhupada, what is that real Kali Yuga? What will happen at that stage? So Prabhupada said, at that stage, you will eat me, I will eat you. Because there will be no food. So eat each other. Some part of it we have seen it. That's like during this Bosnia war and all. Mothers were eating their own dead children because there were no food. So it's there. Some small glimpses there. Sometimes we see it, you know. Sometimes there's a bomb blast and all that. Small glimpse. But just imagine when Kali Yuga starts, what will happen. So how many people want to stay back to see that? Anybody wants to stay back to see that happen? We don't want. So let us do something about it. Prabhupada said, don't wait, next lifetime I'll go back, or some other lifetime. This lifetime I'm useless, I can't do anything. No. Go back in this lifetime itself. There's no time. Because next lifetime, you know what will happen. You may go for some devotional service or practice, you may go to heavenly planet somewhere, and when you come back, the real Kali Yuga is going on. So we don't want to come back, right? You all with me? Nobody wants to come back? Only some don't want to come back. Others want to come back. So let us see what we can do about it. So certain points are there in this purport that we will discuss about it. First point that comes up is there is no process other than bhakti is required to go back to the spiritual world. You know, sometimes we get attached to jnana, lot of knowledge. Let me accumulate, let me read everything that is there in this world. You know, let me read everything, whatever I can. Some people are very adamant about karma yoga. Let me do my karma. That is important. You know, sometimes after hearing Ramayana, they say, your karma is to take care of your parents. That's all. That's what Lord Ram taught us. That's what people say. So some people are very used to yoga, performing some yoga or siddhas. You want to get some siddhis. You know, if I have to go for a Sunday program, I don't have to travel by train or car. You know, and I'm here. Some people want such kind of siddhis or create planets. All that is possible by performing siddha yoga. It's possible. But devotees are not interested. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. So he says, three times he says Nasteva. What does that mean, three times? No karma, no jnana, and no yoga or siddhas. No. Only Harir Nam. There's nothing else required. So actually it's a very simple process, right? But yet, we want complicated things. You want things to get a little complicated, then something nice is being told. Simple, then we don't want it. So, because knowledge and detachment automatically manifest when one is performing devotional service. Like, I remember one devotee, I see them sitting here. Many years ago, they shifted from one place to another place for a certain reason. And then one day they happened to see a temple very close by. And they saw nice Damodar Ashtakam is going on. And they went inside and the devotee told, come on, you also do it. No, you do it. So they did it. And they liked it so much that next day they became life members and they signed up the papers, everything. And then they said, Tika, we are becoming life members, but don't expect us to give up anything. So the devotee said, you don't have to give up anything. In bhakti, when you're practicing, automatically everything will go away. Right? So automatically everything will go away. So that is there. And that is a fact. That's a fact. We should accept at least that we do have a lot of problems. If we don't accept it, like, you know, if you go to a doctor and he says, I don't know what's my problem, you solve it. The doctor will have difficulty. Of course, the earlier Vaids had no problem. They just felt your pulse and they knew what was your problem. But today's doctors may not have that kind of facility. So you have to tell them what's the problem, what's the symptoms that you're getting, and then he can maybe try to help you in some way. So this thing is there. So we have to understand that we do have a lot of problems. So what is that problem? When we hear again and again, we realize, okay, this is my problem, this is my problem. Sometimes devotees, after taking up devotional service, we have got more problems. I'm feeling more greedy. I'm feeling more proud. I'm feeling more lusty. So many things. That's a good thing. Because the problems are coming out now. So that is there. So automatically it will manifest. Knowledge and detachment will come automatically. We don't have to give up. Now just remember, 5 years back or 10 years back, we had so many habits. One of them was watching movies. Now today we may not take so much interest in going for a movie. We may be still going, but that that inclination is not there. Oh, I must see. I can't survive without a movie. Or I cannot survive without a cup of tea. So many devotees had that problem. Tea. Giving up tea was a big problem. But then we have herbal tea. So develop something positive, then the negative will automatically go. That is there. So knowledge of the, what is that knowledge that you have to get? That is knowledge of the sweetness of the Lord's attributes makes one firmly attached to Krishna and detached from everything else. Prabhupada said, you read my books for what? He said, read my books so that you can get detached from this material world. And how do we get detached? When we get attached to the spiritual world. One of the solutions given is, when you are too attached to all the worldliness that is going on, and you don't have to go probing for it, it's coming at your doorstep. The advertisements and so many things, even if you are not watching TV, don't have a TV at home still, so many things are bombarded so many ways, because you cannot walk on the road with your eyes closed. You have to keep your eyes open, and so many things are there to distract us from Krishna. So many bombardments. So if you are having this problem, yes, then what is the solution? Solution is, we have to develop attachment to hearing about Krishna and his beautiful pastimes. Krishna's attributes. Krishna has so many. 6 of them are very powerful. Krishna is so beautiful. Very beautiful. He's so beautiful that even Krishna cannot tolerate his beauty. When he saw his own reflection, oh, who is this beautiful person? He could not stand it. Oh, so beauty. So we have to develop that. We are attracted to some ordinary person who may look beautiful now with all his makeup and all that thing. And then when you see him in reality, or her in reality, it's something different. Right? Just like the example is given, for the pig, his wife is very beautiful. Right? If you take the Miss Universe in front of him, yeah. What is that? See, my wife, so beautiful. For the dog, his wife is beautiful. Of course, they don't have wives. That is beauty. For him, his wife. For him, the piglet is not, pig wife is not beautiful. But for us, Krishna will be beautiful. Why? Because we are part and parcel of Krishna. And we have got the developed consciousness to understand that. It's like, we have the tree. Now, here we have trees. Especially in Mumbai, they don't last for more than 2 or 3 years. They just collapse. But there are trees that last for 10,000 years. And they're standing in one place for 10,000 years. Now, they have some consciousness. How can they stand for 10,000 years? Nallakuvera and Manigriva, when they were cursed by Narad Muni, they stood for 36,000 years. How is it possible? Can we stand? If I say, come on, stand. 2 minutes, please let us sit down. How long we can stand? We cannot stand. We wait for a bus, we get disturbed, we go up and down. When will the bus come? But here are the trees standing for 10,000 years, 20,000 years. Why? Because their consciousness is not so well developed. So they can stand. For them it's possible. But for us it's not possible, because our consciousness is very much developed. And we can further develop it by practicing devotional service. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you want to understand the greatness of a devotee, just ask him, what is his goal of life? And if he says his goal of life is to develop love for Krishna, then that is the highest level person. There is nobody higher than that. Sometimes we say, we ask goal of life, what is it? I want to become this, I want to become that. And we say, he wants to become the president. Oh, wow, very nice, very nice. What is that? After 5 years, you are kicked out. And then you want to be re-elected. If you assure me of a win, I don't mind standing for election. But Krishna is always there. He's just standing in the same pose. He's always there. So why not develop? His beauty is such beautiful. Then he has strength. So much strength. Anybody has any doubts about his strength? We may, of course, we have not developed that faith yet that he has strength. But we hear so much of his activities where he has strength. And we cannot believe it sometimes. Like lifting over the hill with a small little finger. How is it possible? I can't lift one small table also for long with both my hands. How long can I hold it? Yeah? But Krishna lifted for 7 days and seven nights, and not that he was struggling and all that. Like they have that photograph of Atlas holding the planet Earth and he's struggling, falling. Yeah? But here is Krishna very easily, and sometimes he tilts the hill, you know, go over the hill so that somebody can drink water. Somebody was waiting, Agastya Muni was waiting to drink the water that was coming. So he has no problem. That is his strength. Renounce, he's so renounced. Who can be a greater renouncer than him? Bhoktaram yagya tapasam. He is the bhokta of everything, sarvaloka maheshwarin, proprietor of everything. But yet, when he tells Arjun, I want you to fight so that you will be recognized tomorrow as, because of you, the Pandavas won the war. That's why I want you to fight. Otherwise, I can, you know, what, these people, I can finish them off so easily. What is the problem for Krishna? He is in everybody's heart as Paramatma. He can just give one push and he get a heart attack and he die. No, but he wants the glories to go to the devotees. Let the devotees be glorified. He tells, he becomes an ordinary chariot driver. And it's not an easy post to be a chariot driver, especially during the war. You know, when you want to go to the left, the main person has to kick from behind. Yeah? So Arjuna has to kick Krishna left hand side, kick Krishna on the right hand side. I want to go to the right. And Krishna accepts that position. So what can be a greater renouncer than that? Vamandev, Bali Maharaj completely surrendered to him everything. And what did Vamandev give in return? He gave him a wonderful planet which was more beautiful, more wonderful than Indra's planet. And what did Vamandev do? He said he became a gatekeeper there. He became a gatekeeper of King Bali Maharaj. To such an extent, he got so attached being there that Lakshmi was missing him. Where is he? Where is my husband gone? And Narad Muni said, your husband has become a gatekeeper there. I said, what? Here I am Lakshmi, everybody is running after me. Come home, come my home, come to my place. Everybody is calling me. And here he has become a gatekeeper. My husband has become a gatekeeper. How can that be possible? So she goes to Sutala planet where Bali Maharaj was staying. And she saw, and that day Bali Maharaj was giving charity. You know, that is the role of a grahastha. He should give charity. Rohini Nandan Prabhu will tell us later on maybe. Especially Janmashtami, he should give charity. The role of a grahastha is to give charity. So he was giving charity, and Lakshmi Devi had come as an old lady. She was standing in one corner waiting. And then finally, when everything got over, Bali Maharaj said, my dear lady, you have been standing there for a long time. What do you want? She said, you have got my supreme wealth. My husband has become your gatekeeper. I want him back. And then he realized, who is this? And then he realized, this is Lakshmi Devi. And of course, both Vamandev and Bali Maharaj became very sad. Now, you know, Bali Maharaj, of course, that Vamandev will go. And Vamandev did not want to leave his devotee. Then, of course, Bali Maharaj, you know, I mean, Vamandev is Vamandev. He became two. One with Bali Maharaj, one with Lakshmi. Sometimes some husbands would like to do like that. But that is a fact. That is Krishna. So much renounce is. Then we have, what do you have? Intelligent. Yeah, he's the most intelligent. Krishna did not have to prepare that tomorrow I have to give Bhagavad Gita class to Arjun. Arjun just asked a few questions and he answered it. Come on, yeah, there, there. He didn't have to prepare for it. And he said, the same knowledge I have given millions of years ago. You were also there, I was also there. Only thing is, you have forgotten, I remember, that's all. Who can be more intelligent than him? What else is left? Proprietor of everything. He owns everything. We own some small thing and we get so possessed by it, right? Even if we own a small cover of the glass, will be, you know, it's my cover glass. Krishna owns everything, but yet, he is not claiming that, oh, everything, come on, you have it, take it. That is it. So, Krishna has so many activities, so many things. What is the need for Krishna to perform all his activities? Why did Lord Ram have to come and go through all the so-called sufferings and so-called problems? Why did Krishna have to appear in a cell in Kamsa's prison? Why not have a nice palatial birth? No. Because Krishna wants to show that wherever there's problem, I'm there. If my devotees are suffering, I'll be there. And he comes that way. He appears that way. Why? Why does he perform so many activities? Why? Why should he? He's enjoying himself in Golok Vrindavan, playing the flute, playing with the gopas, gopis, why should he come here? In fact, when Radha Damodar Leela, after Krishna starts walking with the ukkal behind him, and he sees these two Arjuna trees, Nallakuvera and Manigriva. And he says, useless fellows, they abused my devotee, they made fun of him. Let them stay there as trees. But because Narad Muni has promised that one day Krishna will liberate you, for his sake I have to liberate them. And he liberates them. So Krishna comes solely for the purpose of performing all his activities so that you and I can sit and discuss something. Otherwise, if there are no activities, you are told just chant Hare Krishna, we will not develop any taste for the holy name. But when we hear all his activities, oh, such beautiful activities, we hear again and again, again and again, again and again, then we develop some taste for the holy name. Just like Rupa Goswami says, when I chant the name of Krishna, I wish I had a million tongues. Right? We are not praying that way. 16 rounds, enough. When I hear the name of Krishna, I wish I had a million years. So when will that day come when we have the similar feeling? How will that day come? When we develop love for Krishna. And how do we develop love for Krishna? By hearing more and more of his activities. Like Prabhupada gives the example. When a young boy and a young girl fall in love, and when they are separated for some time, all the time they are obsessed in thinking, oh, what she must be doing, what he must be doing, thinking about that. So Prabhupada says, same way, we have to develop that love for Krishna. What is Krishna doing right now? What activity he must be performing right now? To such an extent, one day we will come, just one activity of Krishna will attract us. That's all. Like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was telling once, he was with his Babaji and he told him, please tell me a story of Krishna. And he was saying, yes, Krishna, he is makan chor, he used to steal butter. And that way he would tell only that particular pastime, how he used to steal butter. So Maharaj said, I've heard that, please tell something else. Yes, Krishna is makan chor, he used to steal butter. And he used to tell only that. And later on he realized, yes, he is completely engrossed in that pastime of Krishna. Or when we had Sridhar Kolavich, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, tell me, what do you want? You want to go, you want heavenly planets, you want Brahma Loka, you want to go to Vaikuntha, you want to Golok Vrindavan, nothing. He said, I don't want anything. Said, what do you want? I'm ready to give you anything. You ask something at least. He said, I just want to remember that one beautiful pastime. When you as Nimai were coming to my shop and bargaining with me for those banana leaves. I just want that one. Just remembrance of that. That's all. And that's a fact. Right now we want to hear more and more different pastimes with little masalas added so that we get some. It's fine. It's good. At least that way we'll get attached to Krishna. But ultimately we have to come to that platform. So that should be our aspiration. What are the benefits of performing devotional service? Three direct benefits are found. One is we develop devotion for the Lord. We develop devotion. Just like when he first came, I remember at least when I first came, it was in the afternoon, around 12:30 or something, came. Somebody told me about this temple. I came. I just saw, I never even bowed down. Nobody told me that you have to bow down or anything. I just came, took darshan. I didn't know what was the meaning of darshan. And I was just going. And there was one brahmachari that time. He spoke to me for 45 minutes and gave me mahaprasad. I said, this is very nice. I've been to temples before, but nobody spoke to me as such. Nobody even gave mahaprasad. Unless you give some donation, you don't get anything. But here, I didn't do anything, and I got something. And he spoke about Prabhupada and so many things he spoke. And that's what attracted me. But, you know, there are other devotees who come and they can stand for half an hour, full day sometimes in front of the deities and go on watching the deities. What are they seeing? Like it happened in Vrindavan. There was a devotee, an Indian devotee, Indian person, he came and like a tourist, he came and entered Krishna Balaram Mandir. And he stood in front of Krishna Balaram. Full day he was standing there. And when the temple closed in the afternoon, he went. And again, evening he came and again he was standing the whole day there. So the devotees were wondering, what is he seeing? Yeah. We have been seeing Radha Shyam Sundar Krishna Balaram so many years, but we are not seeing it. But what is he seeing? And they went and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, there is this person, he's just standing the whole day. So Prabhupada said, call him, call him. Because Prabhupada realized that this is not an ordinary person, call him. And so he came and Prabhupada, he was from Jaipur. So Prabhupada asked, what are you seeing? He said, I was moving around whole of Vrindavan, looking of Krishna and Balaram. Kaha hai ye log, kaha gaye ye log. Phir jab hum aapke mandir mein aaye, to samne dikhai diye. Aur hum unke leelaye dekh rahe hain. I'm seeing their pastimes here. Prabhupada said, this is devotion. They are seeing, when they're not seeing some stones or some nicely dressed deities. They are seeing Krishna and Balaram. He's seeing Krishna and Balaram. So we have to learn to see that. Like Radhanath Maharaj once said, we are all in Golok Vrindavan right now. We are all in Vrindavan. Right now, sitting in front of Radha Gopinath, all devotees, we are in Vrindavan. But we are not seeing it right now. That is the only thing. Like we always give the example, in this room, there is Star TV, there is ZTV, and I don't know what else is there. So many channels are there, but we cannot see it. But we bring a television in front of it and switch it on, yes, we can see everything. That means there's a receiver, right? So Krishna is here. Krishna is there, everywhere. But we cannot see him right now. Our receiver is not working. We have to tune it properly. That is that. That devotion will automatically develop when we are practicing devotional bhakti. Second is direct experience of the Supreme Lord. We can actually experience the Supreme Lord right in front of us. Right now, if Krishna comes here, right in front of us, we'll say, oh, there's some drama going on, I think. They're getting ready for a drama. Let's see, let's enjoy. We'll not see Krishna. Like when Krishna went as an ambassador to Hastinapur and told, Duryodhan, give this Pandava at least 5 pieces of land. And Duryodhan said, no, nothing. Even a land that is on a tip of a needle I won't give. Get out. And Krishna gets very angry and then Duryodhan says, arrest him and put him in jail. And Krishna at that time reveals his universal form. And what Duryodhan tells? He's doing some yogic trick, I think. He knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Not that he didn't know. He knew that. But yet, when he showed this, he said, you're doing some tricks over here. You're not seeing that. So, same thing, if Krishna comes here, we'll not accept him. So, that's why Krishna is not coming. He's there. Like when once the devotees arranged a program for Prabhupada, and hardly some 5-6 people came for that in the US. Hardly 5-6. And the devotees were dejected. They had done so much publicity, called so many people. And they went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, sorry, nobody came. What do you mean nobody came? You didn't see Narad Muni, Brahma, everybody were dancing and doing kirtan. You didn't see that? Prabhupada saw that. So we have to learn that. That's why, it is said, if there's nobody to preach, preach to the four walls. There are millions of atoms over here, living entities over here. But we have to learn to see all that. So we actually get direct experience of the Supreme Lord. Like one devotee, he was distributing books. New devotee. See, the power of bhakti is so powerful. He's a new bhakta. And he was sent, this was in Germany, he was sent to distribute books. Go distribute books. So he went to distribute books. And at that time, one madman, huge fellow, the Germans, some of them are really huge. Prabhupada said earlier they were all Kshatriyas. Parshuram drew them away, so they went and hid in all these places. So, huge fellow, and he had gone crazy. And he was beating up people, hitting them and running around here and there. And then he came towards this devotee. He got scared, now what is going to happen here? So when he came close by, he loudly started chanting the prayer of Narsingha. Loudly, Narsingha. That man froze. His hand was like that. He just froze. He could not move his hand. and then the police came and put him in the van. But that is direct experience of Krishna. Narsingadeva actually appeared and stopped that person from attacking him. Otherwise, how is it possible? Such a huge man and such a small size devotee, nothing happened. That is direct. And actually, every day we are experiencing Krishna, but we don't realize it. That is the only problem. But if we really hear more and more, then we start realizing. Because I read a lot of nectar from different devotees and they realize Krishna in everything they are doing. So we have to learn that. So we get a direct experience with Krishna. And the third one is, we develop detachment from other things. Like I said earlier, think about 5 years back, 10 years back, we were attached to so many things. Now we don't realize that you have given it up. It's just gone. The taste has gone. Detachment. This is there. So these three things occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way that pleasure we get from nourishment and relief from hunger comes simultaneously. Like eat now, like we have Dahi Chuda festival today. Everybody will be getting Dahi Chuda. And eat, how much can you eat? At some time you say, I'm satisfied, fully satisfied. Fully satisfied. Same way, by practicing bhakti, one fine day, we will realize all these things. We'll realize. Like Prabhupada had sent some devotees to Vrindavan. Go and stay in Vrindavan. Do some seva in Krishna Balaram temple. But there, they got attracted to some Babajis who were revealing their spiritual position. That in the spiritual world, you are like this and like that. And people actually were told, you're a monkey in the spiritual world. And they should start dancing like a monkey. You're a peacock in the spiritual world. They start walking like a peacock and all that. So there were these people who were revealing all this. So the devotee also got attracted. Let me see what I am in the spiritual world. And when Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, he got very angry. He said, why? You don't need all these things. You just perform your devotional service nicely. Krishna will himself reveal to you what you are in the spiritual world. He'll reveal it to you. You don't have to do all these things. So let us leave to that for later thing. Krishna will reveal automatically. So just like that, same way, just by practicing bhakti, all these other things, devotion, direct experience with the Supreme Lord and detachment will happen automatically. We don't have to worry about this. There's another shloka from the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is said, all the demigods and their exalted qualities such as religion, knowledge and renunciation become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality Godhead, Vasudeva. So all the qualities of the demigods, they all come because, you know, earlier in the other three yugas, the demigods used to come time and again for so many reasons. But in Kali Yuga, they don't come because they're scared, you know. We'll also fall. We'll have problems here. Very dangerous place in the age of Kali. But at the same time, it is said the demigods are waiting in a queue to come to this place because so that they can participate in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Because if all the four yugas, in Kali Yuga is the most easiest. And even the demigods, they cannot go back to the spiritual world from there. They have to come to Bhuloka, to this planet. And they are waiting in queue. Like if you go to US embassy, a lot of people waiting in queue. Go to America. But here they want to come to India. The demigods want to come to India. Why? So that they can perform devotional service under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and go back to the spiritual world. So where will they come? It's very difficult for them to come. So they reside in the body of devotees, pure devotees. It's a safe place. We are safe here, no problems. They actually do that. And all these other qualities also developed. Unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Krishna, Vasudeva. They automatically develop. That is important. And bhakti, being the supermost occupation of the living being, leads him out of material sense enjoyment. This is a sign of a pure devotee. Automatically, they lose interest. Devotee loses interest in this material world. He has no more interest. Of course, that doesn't mean that he goes and sits in some remote area. No, because there is no remote area left in the world today. Earlier, he could go to the forest, but the forest is infested by various kinds of two-legged animals. So that is not possible. So what do we do? How do we live? So one of the acharyas is, we have Sat Goswami, of course, we have it outside, is Raghunath Das Goswami. We can learn, of course, we cannot imitate him, but we can learn a lot from him. What is renunciation? And that is what we will talk about today's festival, how it happens and what happens. So, Raghunath Das Goswami was born in a very, very, very rich family. His father and his uncle, their role was to collect taxes from the people. And that, some part they have to keep and rest give it to the Nawab. Because that time the Muslims were ruling. So, when these Hiranya and Govardhan, Govardhan was his father, Hiranya was his uncle, when they were given this task, there was one Turkish person who was earlier doing this collection. It was taken away from him and it was given to these people. So he was very envious. He was very envious. And one day he raided their house. Now before that I would like to tell, Raghunath Das Goswami, he had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wanted to dedicate his life to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one day actually he just runs away from his house. And he goes to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur. They meet over there in Shantipur, which is near Mayapur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him, you go back. Behave like an ordinary businessman. Because he was the only son. Govardhan's only son. Hiranya was no children there, nothing. So for both of them, he was the only, he was getting everything. And what was the income? It was said they would collect around 12 lakh gold coins. Now this is 500 years back. Today even one gold coin is so valuable. 12 lakh gold coins. And some of that he had to give back, and 3 lakh gold coins they would keep it with themselves. I explained that the kind of wealth, even Bill Gates will look like a servant in front of them. That kind of wealth he had. Such wealth. But Raghunath Das Goswami had no attraction for that. He had no attraction because he had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had no attraction. He wanted to dedicate his life for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So again and again he would keep running away. And there were soldiers kept around him, guards kept around him to see that he comes back or he doesn't escape in the first place. So one fine time he just went to Shantipur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go back. Behave like an ordinary householder. Behave like an ordinary business person and do all his mundane dealings. And when the time is ripe, I will call you. Now you go back. So then the father was very disturbed of Raghunath. Every time he's running away. Why is he? Everything is there. All the facilities are there. So they get him married. To a beautiful lady, they get him married. But he's completely detached from that also. He's not at all attached. And again he keeps running away. And his mother says, please do something. The father says, what can I do? He's got all the wealth in the world. He's got a beautiful wife, wonderful family, and both Govardhan and Hiranya, they were also devotees. They were also followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he said, I've given all the facilities. If that cannot hold him, how can tying him with a rope hold him back? It's no use. And ultimately, once it so happened, then Raghunath Das Goswami, he felt that I should meet Nityanand Prabhu. Because Nityanand Prabhu is Balram, the original guru, the original spiritual master. So he decided that I must meet Nityanand Prabhu. And that is where we talk about today's festival. Raghunath Das considered something in his mind and the next day he went to meet Nityanand Goshai or Goshani. In the village of Panihatti, Raghunath Das obtained an interview with Nityanand Prabhu who was accompanied by many Kirtana performers, servants and others. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he reaches this place and there he sees far off, sitting under a tree, Nityanand Prabhu, sitting with all the devotees. And they were enjoyed Kirtan and all that. So sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seemed as effulgent as hundreds and thousands of rising suns. That was his effulgence that was coming. So many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him. Seeing the influence of Nityanand Prabhu, Raghunath Das was astonished. Oh, this is personality. And he was so astonished. Now, Raghunath Das is not an ordinary person even at this stage.
I mean, all the wealth, all the beautiful wife, everything is there, but he's not attached to any of that. His only attachment is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he saw Nityananda Prabhu, he was so overwhelmed that he did not even feel like going near them. He said, how can I go near? I'm a mundane businessman. How can I go there? So far off, he just offered his obeisances. So one of the devotees told, there is Raghunath Das. He is offering obeisance. He told Nityananda Prabhu. See, he is offering obeisance from so far away. Hearing this, Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, what did he tell him? You are a thief. Now you have come to see me. Come here. Today I shall punish you. Come here. Close by. So the Lord called. But Raghunath Das did not go near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed him at his lotus and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head and gave him his blessing. It's not an ordinary feat to get the Lord Ananta Shesha, who comes as Ananta Shesha and holding millions of planets on his head. He is giving his mercy to Raghunath Das. So Lord Nityananda was by nature very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows. You are just like a thief. For instead of coming near, you stay away at a distant place. Now that I have captured you, I shall punish you. What was the punishment given to Raghunath Das? Very important punishment. Sometimes we get scared of punishments. And that's why we don't go near. Sometimes even our spiritual master, we'll get chastised. Better keep far away. I better not go. But Nityananda Prabhu is the original spiritual master. He knows everything in his heart. He says, you have to make a festival and feed all my associates yogurt and chipped rice. Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased. What do you do? Feed everybody. Come on. Even that can be quite difficult for us sometimes. What do you feed? So Raghunath Das immediately sent his own men to the village to purchase all kinds of eatables and bring them back. Bring everything, whatever is required. I use this book because I don't want to miss out on the ingredients. Very important. So Raghunath Das brought chipped rice, yogurt, milk, sweetmeats, sugar, bananas and other eatables and placed them all around. He made his own kitchen service over there. As soon as they heard that a festival was going to be held, all kinds of brahmanas and other gentlemen began to arrive. Thus there were innumerable people. Everybody came. Oh, there's a festival. Come on, let's go. Everybody goes. Like once, again, Radhanath Maharaj was telling, the sadhus in Vrindavan, they don't have anything, no money, nothing. They have to arrange for food every day. So they have the entire timetable with them. This temple, what program is there? This temple, they may be having a Shraddha ceremony. This temple, they have somebody's marriage going on. So they have the entire timetable, so they know where to get their food. Everything is fixed for them, so they don't have to worry. So same way, they heard, oh, there's a festival in Paniyati, let's go. And everybody started coming in thousands and millions. Seeing the crowd increasing, Raghunath Das arranged to get more eatables from other villages. He also brought 200 to 400 large round earthen pots. Come on, more people coming. Good. More, get more. Giriraj Maharaj was telling once in Juhu, Prabhupada said, put an advertisement in the Times of India that anybody who comes to the temple will get free prasadam. And that time, ISKCON did not have so much money. So Giriraj Maharaj said, but Prabhupada, we don't have money. He said, don't worry. If Krishna will send a devotee, he'll send a money also. And they put the ad itself. They put the ad. But still, people find it difficult to come. It's not easy to come to Krishna's temple or to ISKCON. You can go. Any other demigod, there's a lot of line. No problem. Jayadeva Maharaj was one telling, if you go, there is the Mahalakshmi temple, there's a long queue. You go to other temples, there's a long queue. We have one temple in Prabhadevi, long queue. People come Monday night to stand in the queue. I see them all walking on the road. Where they're going? Prabhadevi. Long queue. But here you don't find any queues. Except on Janmashtami. No queues. So Jayadeva Maharaj said, yeah, that is the problem in India. You stand on the railway station to book your ticket, you stand in one queue. By the time you reach the ticket window, sada, ye ticket udhar milega idhar nahi. So people are always standing in wrong queues all the time. So that is that. So thousands and thousands of people started coming. He also obtained 5 or 7 especially large earthen pots, and in these pots a brahmana began soaking chipped rice for the satisfaction of Lord Nityananda. I am giving the ingredients so that you are prepared for the feast in the... I hope it's there. Okay. In one place, chipped rice was soaked with hot milk in each of the large pots. Then half of the rice was mixed with yogurt, sugar and bananas. You may not get exactly the same thing, but if you get, you are lucky. The other half was mixed with condensed milk and a special type of banana known as champakala. Then sugar, clarified butter and camphor were added. So all these ingredients were there. So they made 2 varieties, one with condensed milk and one with yogurt. 2 varieties. And this they started distributing. After Nityananda Prabhu had changed his clothes for a new one and sat on a raised platform, the brahmana brought before him 7 huge pots, for him specially. On that platform, all the most important associates of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, as well as other important men, sat down in a circle around the Lord. This is typical what happened when after Krishna killed Agasura. Everybody was sitting around Krishna and, you know, enjoying. Same, similar pastime. So, there were so many devotees present over there. And then, what happened? Something very important happened. Similarly, other devotees, similarly, Uddharan Dutt Thakur and many other personal associates of the Lord sat on the raised platform with Nityananda Prabhu, and no one could count them. No one could count them. Now, how much place is there under a tree? But they were all sitting together. So many people are sitting together. Hearing about the festival, all kinds of learned scholars, brahmanas and priests went there. Lord Nityananda Prabhu honored them and made them sit on the raised platform with him. If, I don't know who has gone to Panihati. How much is the raised platform? But here everybody is sitting. Come sit, come sit. It's like tying Krishna with that rope. So many ropes not getting over only. And Krishna is not growing in size. Or like the description of Dwarka is given in Bhagavatam. It said just the soldiers that were there in Dwarka were more than the present population of the world. Now Dwarka is not a big city, but how could it be? And no traffic jam. Beautiful gardens. Nowadays to see a garden is a big issue. You can't see a garden nowadays. Even if you see a garden, you have to pay money to go inside a garden. So many things. But you have beautiful gardens. And Krishna himself had 16,108 palaces, because that is the number of wives he had. For each wife, 1 palace. All his opulence. And everything was going on very peacefully. Something difficult to understand. But that was a fact. So in this one platform, so many devotees were sitting. You cannot count them all. Everyone was offered 2 earthen pots. In one was put chipped rice with condensed milk, and in other was chipped rice with yogurt. All the other people sat in groups around the platform. Some had to sit down. No one could count how many people were there. Could not count. Then what happened? More people came. Where to sit them? Each and every one of them was supplied with 2 earthen pots. That was there. Some of the brahmanas, not having gotten a place on the platform, went to the bank of the Ganges. You know? So you can imagine. There's a small photograph here. They were sitting on the bank of the Ganges. Bank of the Ganges. Then some more people came. Where to put them? They sat in the Ganges. Just imagine, 2 earthen pots in the hand, sitting in the Ganges and eating. Of course, you won't have that problem here. But sometimes it happens during festivals. No place to sit to eat prasad. Where to sit? It happens sometimes. Sometimes Krishna manifests all that. So, some sat there, then added, and this way they were having, and this was a beautiful pastime going on. Nityananda Prabhu was enjoying this. So many devotees. That is one of the roles of the spiritual master. When he sees his disciples enjoying prasad, It gives them so much pleasure. We pray that every day in the morning during Mangalarti. We say that. How the spiritual master enjoys to see all the devotees having prasad and enjoying the prasad. That's why it is said, when you are having prasad, we should not discuss philosophy. We should enjoy the prasad. What wonderful prasad we are getting. How it was cooked and what. We should enjoy that. Then Krishna will manifest in that prasad. He is there in that prasad. But if we, who are you? We discuss philosophy and prasad. Okay, chalo, finish prasad, let's go. No, we should enjoy that prasad. And that is what is happening here. The devotees are enjoying. And the devotees are enjoying so much that Nityananda Prabhu called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Jagannath Puri. Now don't ask me how he called. He didn't have to use a mobile phone. Come. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there to this place because devotees are enjoying so much. Sometimes devotees ask, why should we dance in front of Krishna? And I say a very simple thing. When a father or a parent, when they see their children dancing and laughing and playing, the parents are automatically happy. Similarly, when we are dancing in front of Krishna, Krishna is happy. Oh, my devotees are so happy. That's why we have to dance, not for our pleasure, for his pleasure. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, he appeared over there. But only few devotees could see him, not everybody could see him. And Nityananda Prabhu started feeding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some people are wondering what's happening, It's like now if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes here and I give him this, you'll wonder, kya hai, hawa mein kya kar raha hai? But he was feeding. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking from that and he was feeding Nityananda Prabhu. Come and you eat. And that way they were, and all some devotees could see this beautiful pastime going on. And they were there. And then Raghava Pandit came. Now what was the problem was, Raghava Pandit had cooked so many items for Nityananda Prabhu and he was waiting at his house. And wondering why he's not come yet. So he came and he said, what is going on here? I cooked so many items because Raghava Pandit was known for his cooking. He and his sister, they were known for their cooking. Why they have not come? Where are they? And he comes and, what is this going on here? Festival? And so he asked Nityananda Prabhu, for you, sir, I have already offered food to the deity, but you are engaged in a festival here and the food is lying untouched over there. So what did Nityananda Prabhu said? He came in the mood of Balaram. He came in the mood of Balaram. And what did he say? Let me eat all this food here during the day and I shall eat at your home at night. And what he said, I belong to a community of cowherd boys. Nityananda Prabhu is saying. And therefore, I generally have many cowherd associates with me. I am happy when we eat together in a picnic like this by the sandy bank of the river. We also like to have picnics by the riverside. Yeah, Nityananda Prabhu, that's coming from Nityananda Prabhu. He also wants a picnic and he wants to eat. When he eats, he eats. So Lord Nityananda made Raghava Pandit sit down and had two pots delivered to him also. There were two kinds of chip rice soaked in them. So him also, come on, you also enjoy. Come on. Now what was happening in the meantime, these suppliers of chip rice and curds and all that, they also came running. Hare, a lot of business over here. Come on, let's go. I remember in Mayapur, when we used to have these yatras, all these suppliers, all these people with balloons and they all would follow us, wherever, bead bags, kanti malas, they would also follow, business area, nice business, lot of people, 2,000 people, and this year we're expecting 3,000 devotees. So they already have, they'll get the message already, they've got the message by now, 3,000 devotees are coming, be ready. So they'll bring lot of stocks. They told us like that. That is what they told. Humko sab khabar mil jata hai. Kon kitna din, kitna devotees aa rahe hai, sab, we get the news. So, and they come in their bicycles and they follow the devotees wherever they are going. So here they came. And come on. And Raghunath Das Goswami, what that also? Come on, come on. And then he told, you all also sit. You all also have this festival. Come on, you all also enjoy this festival. So that was that. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, this was the exchange going on. Nityananda Prabhu was taking from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and feeding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also smiling took a morsel of food, pushed it into the mouth of Nityananda and laughed as he made Nityananda eat it. He was enjoying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enjoying. Come on, eat, eat. So in this way, Lord Nityananda was walking through all the groups of eaters and all the Vaishnavas were standing there seeing the fun. They were enjoying. No one could understand what Nityananda Prabhu was doing as he walked about. Some, however, who were very fortunate could see that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also present. So they got the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Nityananda Prabhu smiled and sat down. On his right side he kept 4 pots of chipped rice that had not been made from boiled paddy. Lord Nityananda offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a place to sit and had him sit down. Then together the 2 brothers began eating chipped rice. They are brothers. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating with him, Lord Nityananda Prabhu became very happy and exhibited various varieties of ecstatic love. Now when Nityananda Prabhu displays his ecstatic love, it is something ununderstandable for our mundane thinking. But he did that. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu ordered, all of you eat, chanting the holy name of Hari. Immediately the holy name of Hari Hari resounded, filling the entire universe. Everybody enjoying. Hari Hari, come on, eat. Hari Hari, Hari Hari. So that was the festival going on. So when all the Vaishnavas were chanting the holy names Hari Hari and eating, they remembered how Krishna and Balram ate with their companions, the cowherd boys, on the banks of the Yamuna. That's why they said the pastimes of Navadvip and the pastimes of Vrindavan are non-different. They are the same absolute pastime. And Prabhupada also says, when you are performing Harinam Sankirtan, when you are doing this Harinam Sankirtan, you are actually participating in the Ras Leela of Krishna. They are non-different. So when all the Vaishnavas, where are we? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are extremely merciful and liberal. It was Raghunath Das's good fortune that they accepted all these dealings. Who can understand the influence and mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu? He is so powerful that he induced Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and eat chip rice on the bank of the Ganges. And all this was possible because Raghunath Das Goswami made his wonderful offering of chip rice with yogurt and chip rice with condensed milk. It was possible. So this is an act of devotion. This is an act of surrender that Raghunath Das Goswami displayed. Now we cannot imitate what Raghunath Das Goswami did, because later on, Nityananda Prabhu says, look at him. He's coming from such a rich family, such an opulent family, so much, everything he has just given up and is just performing his ordinary service of serving the devotees. That is detachment. He got the knowledge from Yadunandan Acharya. He spoke about him and Haridas Thakur. They spoke about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He got the knowledge. He decided, yes, I must. And detachment came automatically to him. So that is there. So only knowledge, but another thing we have to understand from this purport is, only knowledge or only detachment doesn't work. It has to be both knowledge and detachment. There are a lot of people with a lot of knowledge in this world. Why? Mundane material knowledge, even material, spiritual knowledge, people, there are people with spiritual knowledge. Like I always tell, there was one Mr. Acharya, his article had come in the newspaper. He knows all the 700 slokas of Bhagavad Gita by heart. He knows the translation by heart. Everything he knows. But he's an atheist. He says, I don't believe in God. What is the use of that knowledge? We have another personality, I don't want to name him here. He is known for reading Bhagavad Gita. Right from childhood he has read Bhagavad Gita. But yet he makes a statement that 50 years from now, we will be building industrial estates on the moon. Some of you who heard that statement may know whom I am speaking of. What he is saying, he is making a statement like that, on the moon there will be industrial estates 50 years from now. And he read the Bhagavad Gita. So what is the use of that knowledge? No use. And detachment. The Mayavadi sannyasis are very detached. In fact, more detached than us. Very detached. Like we have that incident. There was this Mayavadi sannyasi in somewhere in North India, and he had made a photograph, a poster of his. A lot of money is kept in front of him, and he's saying, "Ah, Maya, I don't want Maya." And this was brought to Prabhupada. He said, "Huh? You take one photograph of me, put a lot of money, and I'll embrace it and say, wow, give me more." Why? Because the devotee knows what to do with that money. He doesn't see Maya there. He sees Yoga Maya there. He doesn't see Mahamaya. I'm going to use it in Krishna's service. That is what we have to learn. How to use everything in Krishna's service. Raghunath Das Goswami had so much wealth, he used it in Krishna's service. Come on. Of course, later on he said even that is abominable. When he went to Puri, his father used to send him money because earlier he understood he is not coming into family life. Let him go. And he was sending money, and with that money he was serving the devotees. And later on realized, why should I take money from my father? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a very strong statement. Though your father and uncle, they are wonderful, they are devotees, they are Vaishnavas, but they are very materialistically inclined. So there is no pure devotion over there. He made a very strong statement. I don't remember the exact words, so I won't tell it right now. But he said, yeah, they are devotees, they are fine. But they are very materialistically involved, yeah? Engrossed in that. So I don't want. So that is the thing. So we are following devotional service. We cannot say we are devotees. Like it is said, when anybody went in front of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur and he would ask, are you a devotee of Krishna? And he would say, yes, okay, Hare Krishna, please go. But if you say, no, I'm trying to become a devotee, then he would give him knowledge. So detachment, we are talking about detachment. So these people are detached, but they are not attached to Krishna. Yeah, they have no attachment for Krishna because they don't believe in Krishna. They have no faith. They may have some knowledge also. Like there was an incident with Prabhupada, and there were the Chaturvedis and Trivedis and Divedis all sitting in front of him, and he asked a question. So, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What, Swamiji? According to this Purana, he is God. According to this Purana, he is God. So we cannot conclude any of that. There were some Gurukul children playing. He called them. He had some cookies. So what is this? Cookies, right. Who is God? Krishna. Who is Krishna? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada said, look, they are small children. They know the answer and you, Pandit. Big Pandit, y'all don't know the answer. Of course, like they say, nowadays Chaturvedi is not only about the four platforms. A platform pe a gaadi aane wali, A platform pe a gaadi. What do you know? So what is the use of all that knowledge? And what is the use of all that renunciation if you don't know whom you are worshipping? For what you are doing? So what is the solution? So in this, there is the shloka. What is the shloka? Yeah. Janayati ashu vairagyam. One immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So ashu, the word ashu, in this means very soon. Very soon. Very soon one will develop knowledge and detachment on hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like when Prabhupada in his last moments of his life, some devotee asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what is that one thing a devotee should do every day? Prabhupada said, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Now, like I was just reading, studying this first shloka of Bhagavatam, and it is said, Bhakti Siddhanta Sari Thakur spoke on the first shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam for 3 months in Bangladesh. 3 months he spoke. It's not that 1 hour class or something. Spoke. And I was wondering, what is there to speak so much? Then I read one book by Burijan Prabhu, and there he was mentioning how Jeev Goswami gives a breakup of that. First he explains, of course we know the first explanation that Brahma is praying, that how Brahma got the knowledge, and it's a prayer. But later on, Jeev Goswami explains, in this, the entire pastimes of Krishna are mentioned in the first loka. Is explained in concise pastimes of Krishna. And then later on he explains that the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in this, in that first loka. There's so much. We can just see the uppermost meaning, that is. But go more in depth, so much is there. No wonder Jeev Goswami wrote so many books. There are universities dedicated for him only, about his studies, about his writings. So much is there, so much in depth. That's why it is said, one who is performing devotional service is like you are eating raw mangoes right now. But it's a mango. And one day, that mango will become ripe. That's why it is said, a neophyte also reads Bhagavatam, and a pure devotee also reads Bhagavatam. But each one has his own realization. We may enjoy Bhagavatam class, okay, fine, waiting for the end of the class. And days of people waiting for the class should not end only. Go on speaking, go on speaking, go on speaking. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went and he heard the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, he said, go on speaking, come on, again and again. Go on, hearing the same pastime again and again. So we should aspire for that day. And that will come only by performing devotional service, by bhakti. It cannot come by any other process, because every other process will not take us to the spiritual world. By jnana, you can go to higher planets. By doing some karma, you can go to heavenly planets. Swargavasi ho jayega. And by performing some siddhis, you go to Siddha Loka, where in Siddha Loka, from birth itself, they have got their siddhis. It's not that they have to practice. They have, from birth, they have got all the siddhis. You know, they can create bigger planets. They can create their own universe. So many things they can do. They can walk on water and all that. Prabhupada, what is the great about walking on water? Take a boat and go on the water. What is that? What's so great about that? Why do we need all these things? So devotees are not, and devotees actually have all these qualities. There was a wonderful story. This happened during this devotee Rasikananda is one of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was he's a pure devotee. And one day he had a lot of followers, and he was somewhere in Assam. Lot of followers. And one day he was brushing his teeth. You know, they have the dhatun. He was brushing his teeth, and that time there was some fellow over there, and he was doing a lot of magical tricks, flying in the air and all that. So they came. Maharaj, Maharaj, please come. What happened? This person, he is performing so many wonderful tricks. He's flying in the air and all that. So, please come. He got, what are these people? I have given them such wonderful knowledge, information. Why are they attracted to all these things? So he took that dhatun and he put it on the ground. He stood on it. He went all over the place on that stick, flying high and all that. Came back, took that dhatun and said, yes, anything else? No. So a pure devotee has all the siddhis. He has all this. Everything he has. He is doing the highest kind of karma. What is the highest kind of karma? By, like Narasingha Dev told Prahlad Maharaj. When Prahlad Maharaj went to Narasingha, they said, Prabhupada said, he said, thank you, Narasingha Dev, for killing my father. Thank you. But please deliver him. He is already delivered. Why you have to ask for it? Why about him? 14 generations before him, 14 generations after you. Everybody delivered. You don't have to worry about this thing. So pure devotee, when you are performing devotional service, you are not only taking care of yourself, so many generations up and down, everybody. There's a beautiful story about Putna. Now Putna, she came to kill Krishna. She came to kill Krishna. And first she gave him milk, and then she gave him poison. But Krishna saw that milk. But there was another reason why Krishna, and what was the result she got? Though Krishna killed her, the result she got, she became an assistant to Yashoda in the spiritual world. Now she was the only demon who got that benefit. Other demons were liberated. Kamsa got liberated. In the next life he became Kazi. And there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu released him. But Putana immediately. So the explanation is given why. Because when Vamandev was performing this pastime, when he came as Vamandev, Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj's sister, she fell in love. What a beautiful child. She just fell in love. I wish she was my child. But afterwards, when he performed his other pastime, conquering the universe, the entire universe, and putting his feet on Bali Maharaj and arresting him, then she got very angry. I want to kill him. So she had two desires. One to be his mother and one to kill him. So Krishna fulfilled both those desires and she came as Putana in her next life. And because Krishna had promised Prahlad Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj is the grandson of Prahlad. Naturally, she was also related to Prahlad. And because she had promised Prahlad that 14 generations after you, they all be liberated, so he liberated Putana. So we can see. So what we are doing, bhakti, is the highest thing. There is no need of karma, jnana, yogas and all, and nothing. Okay, to take care of body, you may do some yoga here and there. Fine. But we don't have to depend on that for developing love for Krishna. Developing love for Krishna is an andar ki baat hai. It's an internal thing. So whatever profession we may be in, if our consciousness is how I can develop love for Krishna, then it is perfect. There is no problem. Like George Harrison, he wanted to become a brahmachari. When he went to Prabhupada, I want to surrender. I don't want to. He said, no, no, no. You got such wonderful talent. Use it in Krishna's service. And he did that. Because after I was just listening to the song he was singing, my sweet Lord, I want to see you. I want to touch you. I want to feel you. Then, because I talk about Christianity in base, then I realized this Christian, they don't believe in the form of the Lord. They don't believe that Lord has form and all that. So what they must have felt when this top singer at that time was singing, I want to see you, I want to touch you, I want to feel you. They must have started thinking at least, no? If he want to touch you, feel you, means he has some form. And like you said, just because of him singing all those songs and singing the Maha Mantra, many people became devotees. And that is how he was preaching. From that platform he was preaching. So that is the glory of devotional service. Wherever we are, whatever we are, from that platform we can preach. We don't have to give up everything and sit at home. Like sometimes people ask me, oh, you're a devotee of Krishna? Yes, I'm initiated. Oh, you're initiated. Which temple are you staying in? I say, no, I'm not staying in any temple. We have a house, we have a family. And I said, you come and see. There are everybody with family. 90% of the people are with family. 95% are with families. And they're performing wonderful devotional service. They are students. They are doing wonderful studies. There's no problem. In fact, when you give up all this, then you fail miserably in your exams. And we have such cases also. And that happened. That is there. So, all we have to do is add Krishna. Like somebody was giving a breakup of all this and he was saying, we are born in good families, one big zero. We are born in with a lot of education and qualification, another zero. Then we earn a lot of money, another zero. So many zeros. And Prabhupada said, zeros. Oh, so many zeros. Zeros have no value. But you put one in front of that, suddenly the zeros have value. Prabhupada said, just put Krishna in your life. Whatever you're doing, put Krishna in your life. Like Niranjan Maharaj was telling, even if you have to get cheated by a devotee, no problem, you're still in Krishna consciousness. So even to that extent, you know, there is a benefit. Even if you want to cheat a devotee, and be with him, one day you'll become a devotee. Sometimes people come with that attitude, you know, come on, lot of people here, I can do a lot of business over here. Some people who are not intelligent, they are out, but some become part of Krishna consciousness. That is the glory of devotional service. Like sometimes devotees would do Harinam Sankirtan, and there was this person who was always getting angry. Why are these people performing devotional service? And always they used to chastise them. This was in London, I think. And one fine day, what happened? When they were doing Harinam, somebody threw a stone at them, and he got very angry. He started yelling at that for, why are you troubling him? They're such nice people. This, this, this. And he didn't realize he had become a devotee in the meantime. So that is the glory. That is the glory. Of course, there are so much nectar. Just by doing small little service, one becomes a devotee. Like Raghunath Das Goswami, he did the Panihati festival. What is the benefit he got after that? The benefit he got after that was very soon he got to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went to Jagannath Puri, renounced everything, and he got to stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he performed such wonderful, he could see the wonderful pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this planet, he unmanifested himself, Raghunath Das Goswami was so disturbed, he wanted to commit suicide. So he went to Vrindavan. He met Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and said, I've come here, I want to jump from Govardhan Hill and die. Because I have no point in living. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not there anymore. I want to die. So Rupa Goswami, what they said? You were there when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his beautiful sannyas pastime in Jagannath Puri. You have seen everything. You just tell us all that. You just tell us all that. And then he got a purpose to live for. And then he recited all those pastimes. And one of the persons who was listening to that was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He was already 90 plus. And he was instructed to write on the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially the sannyas leela, because other leelas were already written about. The childhood pastimes were all written about sannyas leela. And he was hearing from Raghunath Das Goswami. That's why if you see the prayers, he's praying to Rupa and Raghunath, both. And just by hearing that, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gave us this wonderful Chaitanya Charit Amrita, which Prabhupada says is our PhD study. Because, okay, fine, we are hearing Bhagavatam, everything, but somebody asked Prabhupada, what will happen to those who hear Bhagavatam only? He said, at the most, they can go to Vaikuntha. they can't go to Golok Vrindavan because there's no Radharani in this. Even one place will he, what's it? Sukadeva Goswami mentioned Radharani, he said Aradhyate. He doesn't say Radha because he knows if once he says Radha, then he will get into ecstasy. He won't be able to speak. But Prabhupada said, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, because it's Srimati Radharani, we can get an entrance into the spiritual world of Golok Vrindavan. So that is that. So that is our PhD study. So by the mercy of Raghunath Das Goswami, we got that thing. So Raghunath Das Goswami is also known as the Prayojana Guru. We have the Sambandha Guru, Sanatan Goswami, Abhidya Rup Goswami, giving us the rules and regulations of the devotional service, and Prayojana, how to put it in practice. That is what Raghunath Das Goswami has taught us. And one of the practices he did was Panihatti, which we'll enjoy very soon. So I'd like to end over here. Anybody has any questions or any comments? Everybody is clear? Either you have not understood what I said or... Fine? Srila Prabhupada ki. So we'll have a brief kirtan and then you can stand in the line.